Let's pray. Gracious God, we are in your worship space this morning. We are praising you. We are worshiping you. And when we gather like this, we can feel that you are indeed here. In fact, we like to say that you are always with us no matter what, that is the best thing about belonging to you, is that we know that you are here and you are with us. But remind us that that is not confined to an hour on Sunday morning. That wherever we go, you are there. As David said, you go before me, you go behind me, you put your hand upon me, you hem me in. Wherever we go, we are in your presence. Make us aware. Reveal yourself so that we don't forget you indeed are with us in the midst of whatever it is we are facing right now. Whether we're facing stress or worry or emotional pain or physical illness, remind us, speak to our very soul that you indeed are with us in that moment. And Lord, we pray down your provision in those moments. We pray down your strength in those moments. We pray down, if nothing else, encouragement and peace when the world feels darkest. Because we belong to you. And there is nowhere that we can go where you are not with us. God, I pray that you would enable us, that you would empower us to move out of those moments of tension and strife. And I pray that you would help us to live in a way that is deliberate and glorifying to you and loving to others, and so that they would know that you are with them as well. In our conversations, in our actions, in our charity, in our thoughts, when they know us, I pray that they would know you. That they would experience your love in relationship with us, the church. Not because we're perfect, but because we confess that we struggle too. That we don't pretend to have it all figured out, but instead launch us on a journey together. So that when I'm struggling, they're carrying me. And when they're struggling, I'm carrying them. So that we can embody what you originally intended the church to be, your ambassadors to the whole world. And it is with this morning, it is with the communion of all the saints who have come before and all the saints that are gathered this Sunday, we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If you're keeping score, I did that from memory again. Yes. I talked about that last week. It's not stuck anymore. And as soon as I say that, it'll be stuck next week. Just watch and see. You can be seated. Glad you were here this morning at Connection. Yes. A number of years ago, in a galaxy far, far away, and I'm just kidding, I was in youth group. I was a youth kid in youth group. And I was running a little behind for youth group. And so when I got there, they were all gathered in this like circle praying, right? Standing around a circle holding hands. Maybe you've done that kind of prayer before COVID. Standing around praying together, holding each other's hand or whatever. And so I waited at the door dutifully for them to finish their prayer. And one of the person who was praying when I walked up said, amen. And I was one of these, like, I'm introverted now. I'm still introverted then. But I was always trying to, like, I don't know, impress the ladies or something. I have no idea what the awkwardness was. But I just busted into the room and said, amen. And then the next person started praying. I was like, oh, okay. You know, when you do circle group prayer out loud, the last person is supposed to say amen, not all the people as they go around the circle. So when he said amen, I thought it was over. I busted right in the middle of that prayer circle. There's all kinds of awkwardness around prayer. Have you ever noticed that? what to pray, how to pray, when somebody's finally done praying. It just gets awkward. Maybe there are moments when you feel like your prayers fall about this far in front of you and go nowhere. Maybe you've been there too, right? Did you feel like you're talking to the air? I'm not sure God exists, heard me, cares. Maybe I didn't say the right words, so he didn't hear me. I messed it up, so he didn't hear me. I'm not praying inside of his... There's all this stuff floating around in the hemisphere. Like, what in the world is the deal with prayer? We talked about that some last week. I kind of gave you a why, right? That we express, when we pray, we express our dependence on God and our humility, and we actually say, we want your will to be done, not ours. We say that in the Lord's Prayer for a reason. But there's so much stuff around prayer and how to do it and what to do and what to say. And I'm so thankful that Jesus gave us, here's how to pray when you pray. And you can certainly, I know friends that pray literally the Lord's Prayer every morning because they take here's how to pray seriously and literally. And that is a great discipline because the words are so rich and powerful. Will let us sing them this morning, which was really cool. And through this entire series, we're praying them together out loud. But it doesn't mean that's the only way to pray. If you pray outside of the Lord's Prayer, you're not wrong either, as I just did. You know, you're like, wait, there's only one prayer that Jesus said we could do. It's not that literal. In fact, the Lord's Prayer, to some extent, is a form. If you're ever in class and you had an outline, you know, here's the outline. Follow the outline. And so in the next few weeks, we're going to take a deep dive into the prayer. We talked about why pray last week. We're going to take an exploration journey into the Lord's Prayer. Because it is a form and an outline that helps us form, shape how we pray. And how we pray actually shapes our hearts, too. I don't know if you realize that or not. That a lot of times it's really not about what you say or how you say it. It's being in the posture of actually talking to the Heavenly Father that matters. So there's no perfect language. There's no perfect script. There's no perfect request. As I said last week, there's not like, if I say it just the right way, then God will do magically whatever I want. That's called a spell. That's not how it works. We can't control or manipulate God. So we're going to look at the first couple of verses of the Lord's Prayer, the first part of it, not the whole thing, because, you know, we got a whole few weeks on this. This is chapter 6, verses 9 and 10 of Matthew's version of the Lord's Prayer. Pray then in this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Great, great words. You could just pray those. If you just prayed verse 9 and 10 all the time, that would be a good place to start with your heart. Does that make sense? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Just start your day there. That's a good starting spot, your moment there. I want to talk about a couple of implications from this phrase, our Father, before we go further into this. The first one is, you notice it's our, right? It's not my Father in heaven. That's not the way he set the script up. He says, say our Father. That's a plural pronoun. In other words, the form of prayer Jesus gave us was corporate. In the sense of body, like the whole body of Christ belongs to God the Father. He's our Father. He's not just my Father. He's not just your Father. He's ours. We can have intimacy with Dad, spiritual Dad, right? Now, for some of us, that ends up being a loaded phrase. As soon as you launch into the Lord's Prayer and you go, our Father, and all of you are going, yeah, my dad. You know what I mean? And that's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that our earthly fathers can color that phrase for us, and it does. If your experience of dad was not a good one, then it's hard to actually pray that phrase. Does that make sense? That we, in fact, my dad was strict. We won't go into all those stories today, maybe another sermon. My dad was strict. And so if I messed up, gotcha. And that for the longest time in my Christian walk colored my relationship with God, our Father. I kept thinking, as soon as I step out of line, he's going to squash me. Fortunately, there's more to the prayer than that. We'll get there, right? But it can color how we see it. We've got complete intimacy with our spiritual dad. The scriptures say that if we follow Christ, we are children of God, our Father. So it's together as a church. It's an intimate phrase, our Father. And then it says, our Father who art in heaven. And you might walk around going, thou art worthy. I mean, nobody uses the word art, right? How art thou? It's a little weird. It's one of those old church phrases. But you could say it this way. Our Father who fills the heavens. Our spiritual dad who fills the heavens. Now, the tendency is with that, is we say our Father in heaven means, has another implication to it too, right? He's not right here, he's in heaven. Think about the way that's phrased. Our Father who art in heaven. He's up there, I'm down here struggling. But when you think about it this way, and by the way, the word heaven there can mean singular or plural, depending on which way the Bible readers translate it or whatever. So it could read, our Father who art in the heavens, plural. In other words, he's everywhere. He's in the space between you and me. He's in the air that I breathe. I mean, we're talking, it's almost, the force is with you. You know, like he's everywhere, right? He's everywhere. He's not just somewhere far off. He's dad, here, now, in whatever moment. He fills the heavens. In some respects, he is distant because of he's holy. This is where this phrase, like, our Father who art in heaven. The next phrase, hallowed be thy name. There's another nice church word too, right? Hallowed. I need James Earl Jones to pray this prayer for us, you know, on the microphone. It'd be great. Hollywood. You know, that'd be awesome. But that's meant to have that reverence or awe to it. Holy is your name, which is what hallowed means. Set apart, holy, precious, awesome. God in heaven is holy. Remember, I was afraid of dad, God in heaven who's holy, is going to squish you like a bug because you're not. Maybe that's been your Christian experience. Holy is the Lord. None of this is wrong. In fact, he's at one time right in front of us when we need him, and at the same time, he is distant because he's holy. He's both. The problem is we tend toward an either or. He's either Jesus is our buddy, and I can do no wrong, and he loves me no matter what I do, and I can live any way I want to, or he's who art in heaven, and he's somewhere else and can't hear me talk or know out what I'm thinking. We tend to err one direction or the other. A number of years ago, there were these t-shirts floating around, Jesus is my homeboy. You know what I mean? It's like, he's either our pal and our buddy and our friend, or he's like, so far away, I don't know who he is. Yes. The holiness sets him apart from us. That's what holy really means, is set apart. He's beyond us. He's holy, we're not. He's God, we're not. Set apart. But as I prayed, David said, he goes before us, he wraps around us, he's before us, behind us, he knows our thoughts, he knows everything about us, he knows and does hear our prayers. He's right here in this room with me, not just on Sunday morning for an hour, but Monday morning at work. When you say, oh God, it's Monday, he heard you. When you say, thank God it's Friday, he heard that too. You know what I mean? He's there everywhere, right? I mean, it's all the time, and we tend to forget it. What we're really asking for is him to make himself obvious to us. You know, we say things in church culture like, there was this great retreat, and God showed up. Right? You've heard those phrases before, right? Or, God, fill this place. Come here. And in some ways, this is right. So I'm not saying this is wrong. The problem is the language gets into our hearts and minds that he's somewhere else. When that spiritual retreat, that spiritual high, when God showed up, he was already there. We just became aware of it. It wasn't like God was going, maybe not today. You know, he was already there and at work. He just opened our eyes to it. You know, one of my favorite parts of the Christmas story is when there's an angel that comes down to the shepherds, and it's one angel in the middle of the darkness, and then all of a sudden there's a host of angels. Then the angels are like, I got to get on the airplane. I got to be in in Israel at this time. They were already there. What God did was go, look at this. The angels were there. God just revealed them. God is with you. And sometimes you notice it. And so the prayer, and rightly so, he launches into this prayer, how to pray with our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What's encapsulated in those two little verses are three petitions to God, three requests that we make to God himself. Right? And so it's this idea. So Jesus is telling us how to pray. He's like, here's where you start. Acknowledge that he's your dad and you belong to him. Acknowledge that he's holy. These are not the petitions. I'm just telling you, this is where this starts. Acknowledge that he's here. He's your dad. He's holy. Then request, actually demand. It's the one place in Scripture, I may be getting ahead of myself, but I'll tell you anyway. It's the one place in Scripture where we get to tell God to do something. Your will be done. Do it. Every other time it's like, if you will, it's your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So three petitions. And so there are three, there are actually three yours. How's that convenient for a pastor, right? Your. Hey, there's 3 points to an outline. Yes. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. There's the first your. Holy be your name. Glorify him. Set him apart. That's where you launch into your point of prayer. Call him holy. You're acknowledging that he's God and you're not. As if you need that reminder, right? On Monday morning, you're like, yeah, I'm definitely not God. Start with, God, you are holy. Holy be your name. But it's more than just holy. It is promote him. Set him apart. Prayer launches with set God apart above everything else. We got a series coming on the Ten Commandments. That's like the first two Sundays in one phrase. Set God apart everything above everything else. Holy is your name. Not your buddy. There's a book by a guy named Christian Smith who coined this phrase, moralistic. Wait, let me get my notes because I got that wrong. Moral therapeutic deism. You ever heard that phrase? See, we tend to think of God as, if we do think he's close enough to respond, we think Christianity is, if I do good, God will bless me. If I do bad, God won't bless me. But if I'm a good enough person, this distant God will like me. And that kind of becomes how we express our Christianity. It's, I want to be good, moral, therapeutic, God's trying to fix all my problems, and that's it. And deism, he's God. No personal, just some distant God somewhere else who wants me to be moral, who will help me when I make my requests, and he's somewhere else. Moral, therapeutic, deism. Not the whole faith. Now, there are aspects of all of that in the Christian walk. There's no doubt. Does he want you to be moral? Yes. Does he want to solve and work in your life? Absolutely. Is he distant in the sense that he's holy and I'm not? Yes. Otherwise, no, he's here. There's more to it than that. When you realize, like David prayed, that God knows every thought you've ever had, you suddenly feel less holy. We float around thinking, we can do whatever we want as long as we don't get caught. But God knows everything you've ever done, ever. Sometimes, most of the time, before you even do it. He knows what you're thinking. He knows the thoughts that didn't turn into actual sin. He knows those too. And you go, ooh, God's this big and I'm this big right now. I mean, he knows what I was thinking last Friday night. Yep. He knows what I was thinking in middle school. Yep. He knows what I'm thinking next Friday. Yep. Like, he knows the number of hairs on your head, Scripture tells us. He knows us. The beauty of the gospel is he loves us anyway. Because as bad as that list that just popped into your head is, as bad as that record is, God said, I'm sending Jesus anyway. Whew. Because moral therapeutic deism is like, earn your way there. God goes, I know you're not going to get this. That's why I sent Jesus. That's why I sent him. So launch in with set it apart. If he knows all that stuff, we're in deep trouble. We need Jesus. It is God's character that he is holy. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Not my name. That's an important piece of this, right? Glory to you. You get all the credit. When we do cool stuff at Connection, when we do cool stuff during the week as a Christian, guess who gets the credit? Him. Not us. It's not about us. It's about him. Giving him credit, drawing on his character. Your kingdom come. The very first teaching that Jesus did, that was recorded in the Gospels anyway, when he started his public ministry, he says this all the time. The kingdom of God is at hand. What's he talking about? The kingdom of God is at hand. That was 2,000 years ago. Where's the kingdom of God? You ever thought about that? There's passages, difficult passages in the Gospels that say, some of the faithful will not even know death before my kingdom comes. The kingdom of God is at hand. What is the kingdom of God then? Because if it came 2,000 years ago, man, it would be nice if I could see it right now. Maybe that's where you're living right now. I wish God would, you know, do something. Dallas Willard defines the kingdom of God as this: the effective range of his will. In other words, wherever God's will is done, the kingdom of God exists. So when we're faithful to God's will, the kingdom of God is at work. When we decide we're going to set up our own kingdom, the kingdom of God recedes like water on a beach. And so God asks you a question like, are you really praying this? Do you really want my kingdom to come into your life? Really? Really? Then why are you setting up your own? It's the effective range of God's will. If we really want God's will in our life, then we will do his will. There's his kingdom. Now, there's a very real sense of already and not yet to this, right? Jesus came. He established the kingdom. He said, this is the new covenant in my blood. We'll get there in a minute, right? I've established the kingdom. And when God's will is being done, his kingdom is there. When we rebel against that kingdom, we're working against the establishment of that kingdom. But that's corporate too. The prayer really sounds like this: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's a corporate prayer. If it's our God, our Father, then we're saying we want your kingdom here. We want your kingdom expressed here. We want to see it happen as it is on earth as it is in heaven. This is interesting because we tend to think about Christianity not only as be good until you die, then go to heaven someday. Jesus is teaching them to pray for God's kingdom to be done here the way it's done in heaven. Do you think anybody doesn't proclaim God as holy in heaven? Do you think anybody disobeys God's will in heaven? Nope. The angels, if you go read Revelation, the angels are continuously praying, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord, glorifying his name. Pretty much sure the angels are like, whatever you say, Lord, we'll do it. I mean, in heaven, where God's will is, I said, if the definition of his kingdom is where his will is done, you're pretty sure it's done in heaven, and we want it here. Now, he's already come, he's already initiated it, but he will never, when he finally does come again, he will completely establish it. And so really this prayer is for now and for someday. We're asking for God to return and establish his kingdom here the way it is in heaven. That's only final when he makes his triumphant return. In the meantime, we are invited into participating in bringing it here. God didn't make earth to go, yeah, I'm done with that. Come back to heaven. He gave us a mission with him. And the initial prayer, we've started with praising God and giving him the credit, and then we're asking, if not commanding him, to do on earth what he does in heaven, which is to rule. We're not comfortable with that either. Do we really mean your kingdom come in my life where you are the king and I am not? That's where this prayer is starting. You're king, you're awesome, your name is holy, now rule my world and my life. Whew. Better mean it, because we pray it. And we don't get it perfect, but we better mean it when we pray it, right? But the kingdom of God is not like static. It's not like, oh, it's here, boom, now we're done. Whew. Go to vacation. It's continuously moving. It's not confined to four walls of the connection building. This is the kingdom of God, out there is not. Remember what I said about church language? Hey, God showed up. He wasn't here. Now he is. This is God's kingdom. Out there is the world. We talk about that too. Like, go reach the lost, right? We talk about that. Guys, this is all our world. It all belongs to him. And he's commissioned us as partners to transform all of it to where his effective will is done everywhere all the time. It's not, oh, the church is established, church is building, connections established, it's an awesome worship service, the kingdom of God is perfect. No, the kingdom of God's out there. The call on us as believers is to partner with him outside this building. This is where we rally and get recharged for the work that needs to be done out there. Not just on Sunday morning, but Monday through Saturday. And all of that is worship. All of that, and then who are we giving the credit to when something awesome happens on Wednesday? Right? Hallowed be your name that you did that in that conversation with that person, not how cool and awesome and spiritual ninja am I. How awesome are you, God, that you used my relationship with this person to demonstrate your love to them? And this is where the pattern for prayer, this is where God teaching prayer in a set of phrases starts. Your will be done. Your will, not ours. Your will, not mine. There's a faith tradition prayer. See, here's the beauty. We always tend to throw out the old stuff because it's old when it comes to prayer. Of course, we don't throw out the Lord's Prayer. That's really old. But when it comes to church tradition stuff, it's like, we need contemporary, we need new now, we need relevant. But there's ancient stuff that we go, that's pretty good. We should keep that. And I agree. There's a tradition called the prayer of indifference. And I've taught some of you that before, but it's awesome. The prayer of indifference basically goes like this. Oh, there it is. It's on the screen for you. You can see it. Dear God, I want your will, nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. So when I call it the prayer of indifference, it means it doesn't mean you don't care. We hear indifferent like, I don't care. Prayer of indifference. Help me to not care about people. What it means by indifference is my will out of the way, yours be done. Help me to be indifferent to my own agenda. Help me to not prioritize my will, my kingdom, my agenda. Help me to express and live into yours. By the way, this is a great prayer if you've got to make a major life decision anytime soon. Or you're going into an intense conversation with somebody over a challenge that you're facing, pray this prayer before you go into whatever those circumstances are. Dear God, I want your will, nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else to come out of this conversation, this difficult meeting, this life decision. I want nothing else but your will. Your will be done in this conversation. I'm indifferent to my own agenda. I'm elevating yours in these circumstances. Whew. If we did that as a continual spiritual discipline, then we would help realize your kingdom come, your will be done. We would help make it happen. If that was if that's the operating stance of our heart, your will, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. These requests give us the first priority of prayer, surrender of our own glory, our own kingdom, and our own will. So for every your, there's an our. You notice that? Your name be glorified, not ours. Your will be done, not ours. Your kingdom come, not ours. And really, we say this phrasing in the prayer where it says, on earth as it is in heaven, you really could tag that on the end of all three of the petitions, right? God, your name be glorified on earth as it is in heaven. God, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. God, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The phrase only occurs after the third one, but it's tied to all three. They're all deeply interconnected. If we're not glorifying God with our life, we're certainly not doing his will. If we're not doing his will, we're certainly not advancing his kingdom. They're all really the same request, if you think about it. If I'm glorifying God, I'm doing his will. If I'm doing his will, I'm glorifying God. It's, oh, okay, it's all together. If I'm putting his kingdom into practice, if I'm advancing his kingdom, being charitable, getting generous, being loving, being kind, wherever God's will is being done, there's his kingdom. It's all interconnected. And so it makes sense that Jesus would say, if you're going to pray, here's where you start. It's not about you, it's about me. It's not about your kingdom, it's about my kingdom. It's not about your will, it's my will. Start there. Proclaiming and glorifying God, making his kingdom available, and seeing his will be done in our words, actions, gifts, and graces. That's what the petitions are about. God, you be glorified. God, your kingdom come. God, your will be done. Three things that we're asking God to do at the outset of prayer. Now, if you're like, well, I don't know, how do I pray on Monday? Pray your life in those three things. God, let my life glorify you today. God, let my actions advance your kingdom today. God, your will, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. You see how this becomes a form of prayer and not just literal, here's the phrases you pray. But if you're praying the Lord's Prayer as a discipline, it's automatically shaping your heart toward those three petitions. That's why we repeat it in church on Sunday. That's why we're repeating it during this series. That's why we repeat it every Sunday up the hill, is because the Lord's Prayer shapes our attitude towards God and towards the world. Or it ought to. God is our first priority. Surrender is our challenge because we like our kingdom. We like our will. This is what I want to do today. My 6-year-old, I want to do whatever I want. Sorry, buddy, the world doesn't always work that way. He has said that on multiple occasions. I just want to do whatever I want, Dad. No. You know, like we're camping this weekend. Here's a hatchet, here's fire, here's a BB gun. Do whatever you want, Matthew. That would not be a good plan. You know what I mean? You can do it within these boundaries. You can do it within these limits. You can do it this way. Here's how you properly hold and load one of those things without putting an eye out. You know what I mean? Sure, you can have fun with the things provided for you within these boundaries. What we're saying to God is, God, give us the boundaries. Empower us in partnership. But above all, you be glorified, your stuff, not mine. That's where the attitude of prayer starts. Let's pray. Great Heavenly Dad, our Father, our spiritual Dad, we give you these petitions this morning, that you would be glorified in the way we live, that you would be glorified in our hearts and in our minds, that your name would be set apart above all else. Lord, we ask that your kingdom fill everywhere, not just this church building, not just rent every church building around town, but your will, your kingdom would be done everywhere. Thank you for making us a part of it, for calling us your children, for inviting us into a partnership that says we are doing this not for our own glory, but for yours. Not to accomplish our own purpose, but to accomplish yours. Lord, as we go into this time of communion, help us not to just let those prayers be prayers, but let those petitions shape the way we live, think, and breathe as we glorify you. In your precious Son, Jesus' name, amen.